This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Good evening. My name is Greg Schwartz, and I'm here with Craig LeBeau, and we are going to be talking about population. First thing I'm going to do is read you a couple of quotes. The first one starts out this way. Unlooked for but swift, we have come on like a swarm of locusts, a wide, thick, darkling cloud settling down like living snowflakes, smothering every stalk, every leaf, eating away every scrap of green down to raw, bare, wasting earth. It's painfully straightforward. There are too many men for earth to harbor. At nearly 7 billion of us, we have overshot earth's carrying capacity. The man swarm yet swells like the black, living, withering mouth clouds that have ransacked fields since the first digging stick scratched a line in dirt. The crippling of Earth's life support systems by such a flood of upright apes is bad news for us. But it is much worse news for other Earthlings, animals and plants, wild didors and warts, who are taking a far worse beating than we are for our devil-may-care childishness and greed. Long ago, we overshot Earth's carrying capacity for keeping wild things hale and hearty. For many years, it has been the booming and spreading overflow of naked apes, us, that has been the greatest threat to bringing manifold life on Earth. For anything beyond a few years ahead, the bedrock work of conservation, shielding wild lands and keeping up all kinds of wildlife alive, is up in the air without freezing and then lowering the population of man. The second quote that I'd like to read is as follows. Instead of resolving the problems of the poor and thinking of how the world can be different, some can only propose a reduction in the birth rate. At times, developing countries face forms of international pressure which make economic assistance contingent on certain policies of reproductive health. Yet while it is true that an unequal distribution of the population and of available resources creates obstacles to development and a sustainable use of the environment, it must nonetheless be recognized that demographic growth is fully compatible with an integral and shared development. To blame population growth instead of extreme and selective consumerism on the part of some is one way of refusing to face the issue. The first quote was from an author named Dave Foreman in a book called Man Swarm and the Killing of Wildlife. The second quote was from Pope Francis in his recent encyclical. Specifically, it is the beginning of his paragraph 50. And so there we have two different sides. We have too many people, and then we have the other side, which says that's not the real problem that we have in the world today. And so today we're going to talk about population and whether it's a problem or not. And I think perhaps if you would like, you can call us with questions. Or if you'd like to make a comment, the number is 816-931-5534, and we'll take calls after we get through with the main introduction here. A couple of weeks ago, actually earlier this month on September 2nd, we, KKFI that is, ran a 1968 interview with, or in regard to the book Population Bomb by Paul Ehrlich. That book was from 1968. And then at the end of the interview, they had a at the end of the archived interview, they had a interview with Dr. Ehrlich himself. That program ran on September the 2nd, 2015. It's a Pacifica archive show. Foreman, who I mentioned earlier and quoted from, in his book points out that many of the calamities set out by Ehrlich were avoided due to the apocalyptic feelings of that time and due to the book. Things got better because, one, family planning and birth control came more into vogue. Countries that lowered their birth rate did better. The Green Revolution, better seeds helped. But then there were substantial increases in fertilizer and pesticides made mostly from fossil fuels. Third, there was an increased use of irrigation, but petroleum runs the pumps and the tractors. Plus, many of the water sources are drying up. For instance, the Oglala Aquifer in Kansas, or that is in Kansas, the level of that is rapidly declining and becoming less useful to the irrigators in that area. And one reason that things improved were that many of Ehrlich's ideas were adopted and succeeded. So what are the problems that population cause? One is deforestation. And I'm actually referring to a publication which was on the internet in the or from Population Connection. That's a organization, and as local population grows, people clear forests to make room for crops. In addition to more food, growing populations need more wood for cooking and construction. A good example would be, or we might refer to the book by Jared Diamond called Collapse, where he talks about Easter Island and how they cut down the trees, and eventually there were no trees left for them to use. Another problem with population is water scarcity. Demand for fresh water is directly proportional to population size, where advanced delivery service systems are not available. Agriculture uses as much as 90% of water resources in some drier regions of the world. Food shortages. Each year, the world population grows by about 83 million people, yet global grain productivity is increasing at a rate of only 1.3% each year, down from 2.1% from 1950 to 1990. Per capita cropland has halved since 1960. And I can tell you from personal experience that the amount of farmland in the Kansas City area has declined substantially. When my family moved back to Kansas City back around 1960, we moved to an area at 89th and Schweitzer, and at that point we were the edge of the city. And now all of the cropland that was available between there and Olathe has gone into monoculture lawns and asphalt developments. Another problem with overpopulation is overfishing. Fisheries around the world are collapsing because of demand placed on them by growing population with the rising incomes. Sprawl. More than half of the world population is now urban. As cities grow, they spread into land previously undeveloped or used for agriculture. In the process, wildlife habitats are destroyed and valuable farmland is lost. Sprawl forces people to commute, which in turn causes problems with oil consumption. Habitat loss, species extinction, As human populations sprawl, wildlife habitats are ruined. Waste, even the most conscientious consumer produce household waste and contribute indirectly to commercial waste. It's kind of amazing to go up and down a street where trash is being collected that day and see two or three bags of trash outside everybody's house. It's just amazing. Pollution, many human activities, farming, manufacturing, construction, cause air, water, and soil pollution. Climate change, American and global per capita carbon emissions have remained steady since the 1970s. And I want to emphasize there that's per capita. But since then, the world population has almost doubled. Obviously, the carbon emissions are going up simply based upon the number of people that we have. Natural disasters, human population centers located on fault lines or in hurricane-prone coastal areas are growing rapidly, endangering more people with deadly natural disasters. There's, of course, the danger of coastal flooding as the ice melts at the poles. So all these are definitely human population cause, and they're definitely related to the number of people. And even if we were to improve our, become more efficient in terms of using less energy per person, if we have more people, we're still going to use the same amount energy and cause further pollution. Do you want to add anything to all that, Craig?
Well, I've got some information both from Sierra Club on their population program and some facts that I'll go through a little bit of, and also some population facts from Alan Weissman from his book Countdown. Those of you who've been listening to us for a few years, we did have him on, I believe it was August of 2014. So I'll go through some of those facts. First, the Sierra Club. Let me just read real quick the one paragraph here. Each year, 80 million people are born onto the planet of more than 7 billion, where resources like safe drinking water and food are often scarce. At the same time, people everywhere have difficulty accessing sexual and reproductive health information and services. To achieve a sustainable future, we must address the root causes of environmental degradation, including population growth, overconsumption of natural resources, and ensure women and families can voluntarily determine the number, timing, and spacing of their children. The facts on the stuff from Alan Weissman is it only took 12 years for the population to go from 6 billion to 7 billion. Second, the human population has quadrupled over the past 100 years, while our consumption of resources has increased by a factor of 17. So our consumption patterns are going up faster than even the population. In 1900, there was 1.6 billion people on the Earth. Now we have 7 billion. It's estimated by 2100 that we will have a minimum of 10.9 billion people on the planet. The China is increasing quickly. There are now at least 150 Chinese cities with more than a million people. By 2025, it will increase to 220 cities. They're adding approximately a million people every 7 weeks. So think about that. 1 million people in China every 7 weeks being born. In 2012, by 2040, it's estimated that China will add another 100 million people. Well, they'll have 100 million people who will be over 80 years old at that time. So it's an aging population. Back in 1800, the average lifespan in the industrialized countries, and specifically the United States, was approximately 40 years of age, and now it's nearly double that. So we're having, we're increasing population, birth rate, and it's also we're reducing the death rate, extending the lifespan, and we are reducing the mortality rate of infants at birth. So all of that is adding to the population. We know some things that help to reduce population. One thing is that in countries, or even third world countries somewhat, if they have a good education program on family planning, et cetera, the better educated people are, they seem to choose to have less children. Those countries are declining, or at least slowing down in their growth rate. Whereas the countries that have less education, their birth rates tend to go up. I want to talk a little bit about the Pope's encyclical.
Sure.
I know you get read a quote.
I read one quote out of it, and it's like 200 and more than 200 paragraphs, and I just read one paragraph. I think that the Pope's effort is to be commended, obviously, and he certainly has mentioned many, many things in the encyclical that are, much needed. But I do disagree with him about the birth rates. And as a matter of fact, the New York Times had an editorial yesterday where they called for the Pope to convene another commission. Go back here just a little bit. Apparently, previous Pope had a commission where they decided that they would not take on the issue of birth control, but the New York Times called for the Pope to convene another commission, one composed not only of church leaders but also of lay people, including women and scientists who had studied the effects of contraception and the lack of access to it around the world. I want to emphasize too that I don't want to just dwell on just the Pope, but he happens to be here today in the United States. You will find in a lot of the it's my observation at least, that you will find in many of the fundamental religions that there are some segments where you have a very high population or a very high number of children in families. And it's true not only in Catholicism, but Islam and some of the fundamentalist Christian religions, Mormonism, and even conservative Judaism. So it's not just the Pope, and just not the Catholic Church, but a lot of different religions are behind some of the large families. I think it's also a cultural thing in some countries. I think in Nigeria or some other countries, there's cultural imperatives that they think that they have to live up to. So,
well, the Pope in his encyclical, I know with the Sierra Club, we have a position supporting what he has said about climate change. The problem I have with it is the Sierra Club has not taken position or said much on his failure to address population. Now, having said that, the Pope did, I believe it was within a few weeks before he before he released the encyclical, he did give a speech where he stated that the population issues, the overpopulation, cannot, and climate change cannot be addressed without addressing both together. He acknowledges the overpopulation is contributing to climate change. The difficulty is he's never been willing to say, well, what is he willing to do about population? Obviously, we're never going to get the Pope, and I wouldn't even ask him to suddenly support abortion. But I would hope we could get him to support some forms of contraceptive. Because if you don't support that, if you go just upon the abstinence, we know that doesn't work. The rhythm method, that's never worked. So he's going to, if he's really serious about dealing with climate change and dealing with population, he's going to have to come out with something that works. So I'm hopeful that environmental groups, Sierra Club and other groups will hopefully have a chance to meet with either the Pope or representatives of the Vatican and perhaps come up with something that would be agreeable to them. That's a vital part. If we don't deal with, as you said, the carbon keeps increasing, and it's not just an environmental imperative, it's imperative in terms of war and stuff and death. If you have the population continuing to grow, we're not going to have a war for oil. We're going to wind up with a war for water. Because when the world runs out of water, we're going to be fighting. Those are some thoughts I have.
Yeah, water and food, of course. And, of course, the amount of food that we have is dependent upon the amount of fresh water that we have to grow crops. And if we don't have food, we're going to have undernutrition. And actually, we already have undernutrition. There's an article from the Population Connection entitled Population Growth and Food Insecurity, which is available on the Internet. Here's what they say about undernutrition. Undernutrition has led to the stunted growth of 165 million children worldwide and is responsible for 45% of children's deaths in low- and middle-income countries. In low- and middle-income countries, 27% of all babies are born small for their gestational age, which contributes to a quarter of newborn deaths. Stunted doesn't simply mean, says Anthony Lake, executive director of UNICEF, the child's brain never properly develops, irrevocably. That's it. You can't fix it later. You can fix being underweight, but you can't fix being stunted after age two. What this means is, for the remainder of that child's life, irrevocably, the child will learn less in school, will earn less later, is more vulnerable to disease. This is a tragic violation of that child's life, but is also a tremendous strain on that society. So my position is that it's wrong to bring children into the world where they can't be fed properly and nurtured properly from the very beginning. And it's more important not to have them if they're not. It's important not to have the children unless they can be properly cared for.
I want to give one other figure because I quoted the number of people per year from Sierra Club. But when Alan Weissman breaks it down, every 4.5 days, there's 1 million people born that's on the planet worldwide. So that's huge. And I was just thinking, I don't know the statistics for the different species, But you always hear about how fast rabbits populate, and it sounds like maybe humans are trying to compete with rabbits for how quickly we can breed.
Well, the thing about rabbits is that they are born on the ground and are fodder for many coyotes and in residential neighborhoods probably cats and dogs. So the way rabbits breed is a defensive measure that nature has brought about in order to keep that species still alive. If they didn't quote unquote breed like rabbits, they wouldn't. The species probably would not survive. But unfortunately, humans have very few predators, and so if we breed like rabbits, then we're going to have way too many of us. I might mention there's another website, the Population Institute, and they have released state-by-state report cards on reproductive health and rights. And it's important to note that both Missouri and Kansas have gotten Fs in regard to the issues of reproductive health and rights. One of the main things is that that they mention in Kansas, it says Kansas does not mandate sex education in public schools. Kansas has not expanded their Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act, and Kansas currently does not offer an expansion for family plan service to the Medicare plan. It mentions a number of other things, and in Missouri, Missouri has not expanded their Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. Missouri mandates HIV education but does not require that condoms be part of the curriculum. And so I would urge you to, if you're interested in this question, and I think everybody should be, you might want to check with the Population Institute website.
I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, all I can say is this is something I've been interested in for quite a number of years, and I would urge everyone to investigate. You mentioned Alan Weisman's book. That's a really good book. I forgot.
It's called Countdown.
Yeah, called Countdown. And, of course, Paul Ehrlich's writings, his 1968 book is still relevant. But he's also got later books, and there's a large number of other books available. I've got another one here that is kind of a compendium of different articles. It is called Life on the Brink. It's edited by Philip Caffaro and Eileen Christ. Would recommend that. I've read Weisman's book. I've read Man's Form. I've read Life on the Brink. So I think we're about done, and we appreciate you tuning in and listening to us, and hope we've educated you somewhat.
You have been listening to Radioactive Magazine, a presentation of KKFI 90.1 FM in Kansas City. Radioactive Magazine provides a forum for activist groups and activists in the greater Kansas City area. If you would like to propose interviews, contribute commentaries, event notifications, etc. to Radioactive Magazine, call Dan Connolly at 816-217-5875. Thank you for listening.